Good morning again. Can we just pray as we come to God's words together now? Loving God, we thank you for this inspired word from God. The Beatitudes, the words of Jesus, this incredible teaching. And Father, we pray that you'd help us to put into practice what Jesus said and what Jesus taught us. We want to be open today. Open our hearts, open our minds, open our thinking. Help us, Lord, to be doers of your word. We ask this for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, this when I approached this Sunday, I kind of saw it really as a vision Sunday, where we can just look back and look forward. And I'm so grateful looking back over the past 10 years as to all that God has done in this place, and I want to say thank you to everybody here, and there's so many not here as well, who have been partners with me in the gospel from the very first day until now, and just so grateful to be part of this church family, and that we're brothers and sisters together. And we've, over the past number of years, seen God do so much here. And I do remember the first time coming on the tube from Loughton and just really being very moved in the when I was just sitting on the tube, quietly crying, really looking at the parish profile, just being really gripped with a real sense that God has amazing plans for this church and for the people here. This is the church, the people in this place. And God has amazing things in his heart for Loughton, for Epping Forest, for West Essex. God has remarkable things in his heart for us. And I hope that you can see that and hear that in your own heart as you listen to what the Spirit is saying, that God wants to move among us more. And we've seen good things, but God has even more for us. It's been a real joy to be part of seeing growth here, to be seeing outreach, to be seeing new people come to faith and come into this church family, and also to be multiplying, which is what we're doing. Multiplying and sending out, becoming a resource church, becoming a church that seeks to not only be blessed, but really to be a blessing is the main heart behind it. Whether that's been through the Hope Center or Living Hope or Wholeness Ministry or, Love Loughton or different ways that we've seen new things spring up in the life of our church. It's all about getting out there, but also loving one another here. And becoming that community that Jesus speaks about here in his word. And feel so passionate about planting, still being on the agenda. You know, seeing what God, planting new churches from this church. New congregations, new forms of worship. To see the gospel spread out from this place. We're not a club keeping it to ourselves. We want to be a mission agency together. We want the gospel to grow in Loughton. We want to see more wholeness because there's so much brokenness in our world, inside and outside the church, where we need to be made whole and caring and journeying with one another and honest together. There's prayer on the agenda. There's so much that we're passionate about that's definitely on God's agenda for us and on our agenda for this community. And that's what we're here for. And I want to just, if I may just take this opportunity, because don't really ever say this, but actually Paul says this, so I think it's okay, to ask you just to pray for us as a family. Paul says this, pray for us. And I would like to ask, if I may, once in a while, for you to pray for us. Pray for myself and Caroline. Pray for the other leaders, Steve and Sarah and Hugh and other people, other people on the leadership of the church. Just pray for us. As we seek to discern God's will and his way for, and often have to deal with many different things coming our way. So could I ask you just to pray for us, that the Spirit of the Lord is poured out in even more than we've ever seen before. And also as I stand here today, I'm just really grateful. I'm grateful for this party this afternoon. It wasn't my idea, I have to say. I'd quite like to just go into a little corner and be quiet, probably. It's not about me, it's about Jesus, really. And that's the thing. So it's slightly strange. But I'm so grateful, just really grateful for the past 10 years. And I'm very conscious of my weaknesses and very conscious, thank you for forbearing with them. And of course, you know, God has gifted me in some areas and not in others, as you know. But thank you for journeying and for partnering and for being there and for being a supportive church. It makes such a difference. And it's a joy. It is an absolute joy. I often think of Philippians 1 when I pray for St. Mary's, that it is a complete and pure joy when I pray for you, that the Spirit is upon this church, but we want more. Amen. So we're really grateful, but not satisfied. And also just to say before we get into the text, that in the autumn time, we are going to have a period where we can do a little bit of consulting and a little bit of talking together about how we can actually live out the vision and values more that God's given us together, how we can do that. We're going to be having some consultation on that. So I'm really looking forward to what is to come as well, and praying that we will just grow in confidence and grow in grace together. So if you keep your Bibles open at Matthew chapter 5, the reason I've chosen this passage on a kind of a Vision Sunday, really, where it's not going to be that I'm going to be making big announcements today about what we're going to be doing. That's more for January, in the meetings that we share in January. But this is the heart behind what we do, and the heart behind the vision that we have. This vision of every person in every place saturated with God. And this vision that nothing is impossible with God. We look here at Matthew chapter 5, these Beatitudes, this remarkable teaching of Jesus. And in here, there's something I've not quite seen before. Sometimes when I've looked at the Beatitudes, I've taken each of them as an individual standalone statement, if you like. Blessed are the poor in spirit. It doesn't much equate to blessed are the meek. You know, and then you've got blessed are the peacemakers and so on. And you just kind of take them one at a time. But one of the things I've been noticing recently is actually a progression in the Beatitudes. That there is this sense of, and if I could summarize it in this way, that as we meet with God, that we overflow his life to others. And that's the heart behind what we're sharing. So my prayer is that our vision has always been that it will simply be an overflow of each one of us knowing the Lord and meeting with God and taking responsibility in our own lives to meet with the Lord and to pray and to build ourselves up in our most holy faith. And then as we do that, we share, we overflow his love. And so I'm going to start, we're going to just take them briefly, point by point, but hopefully over the time you'll see a progression and the sense of the word that God has for us today. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That's how Jesus starts this teaching. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And to me, this is all about starting from the place of us recognizing our need of God. We need God. And that might sound something so basic, but it is where all spiritual growth starts, the place that we say we need God. The funny thing is that we can think that we know that, but often we live as though we don't. We live as though we are sufficient. We've got the resources. We know how to do things on Monday morning and can get on with our day at work, at home, and just carry on. And oftentimes we can find that we rarely ever pick up our Bibles or whatever, and we just move on in our own strength too often. And it's because we haven't started here. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who know that who know their poverty of spirit, who know that they can't make it, who know that they are helpless without God, who know that they're in trouble without God's touch on their life. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So it's recognizing without Christ, and if I'm marching on in my own strength, then I'm not poor in spirit. Poor in spirit is where we say, oh God, I need you. It's really that basic. God, I need you. For every day, I need you. I need you at work. I need you in my family life. I need you in my marriage, Lord. Lord, I need you. I need you in my mind because it can be confused, chaotic, and fragile. God, I need you in my emotions. I need you, Lord God, in my finances. I need you, God, in my everything, in my church, in my life group. Wherever you want to fill in the blank, we need him. I need you. I need you. And some of us might be saying, and I miss you. Because you might have known the Lord perhaps in previous years or months, but right now you're perhaps distant from the Lord, and you might be saying, Lord, I recognize, I know I need you, and I miss you, and I want to come back. God, I need you. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Then it goes on and says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. This is such a rich statement, and often in our kind of church, evangelical churches often like to be very upbeat about everything. Everything has to be great and upbeat and happy. And actually, the Bible is not like that. Often the Bible is just honest. Because life is not like that, is it? And it says here, blessed are those who mourn. It's not just speaking of those perhaps who mourn through bereavement or through loss or something. God is close to those who are brokenhearted. But I believe this, in the context, is really speaking about blessed are those who mourn over their sin, who mourn over their weakness, perhaps, who mourn over their, who are just honest and are struggling. Blessed are those who are struggling. Blessed are those who don't have it all together. Blessed are those who are honest about it and don't try to hide it. And don't just try to put a sellotape or a mask over it and pretend it's okay, wallpaper it over. Blessed are those who face their weaknesses in Christ's name and with his love and in the grace of God. Blessed are those who are weak. And as Paul said, you know, it's in our weakness that Christ's strength is made known. Because once again, if we march on into our lives in our own strength, it doesn't satisfy. It is not the full life that Jesus brings to us. And actually, I believe we have something to learn, even from this statement, blessed are those who mourn. Revivals in history were often accompanied by a measure of mourning. Mourning over our sin. Mourning over the things in our lives that don't please God. You know, the hymn that says, I hate the sin that made you mourn and drove you from my breast, where we would say, Lord, if I'm living in disobedience to God, or if I'm walking away from God, or I'm doing a life in my own strength, Lord, I hate that. I don't want that in my life. I mourn over that. This is not the fullness of life that Jesus came to bring us. And there is a right kind of mourning. You know, the prophet Joel said, you know, rent your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord and he will have mercy. The Bible's full of encouraging us to cry out to God and to mourn over anything in our lives that keeps us back from him. Is there something in your life that's holding you back from God, from the love of God, from the best that God gives to you? Then we want to get rid of that. We want to mourn over that and say, oh God, divorce me from my sin. I don't want to remain in my sin. I don't want to remain distant. I don't want to let the barriers remain. God, I want them all to be tumbling down. Lord, I want you. I miss you. I need you. And I'm mourning over the way that I've lived, and I want to live for you more. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And it's a beautiful thing. If you've ever read the book of Lamentations, you will know this place, actually, because there's something about our weakness that God is magnetized to. God loves it when we recognize our weakness, because then he can come and fill us with his love. It's when I think I'm enough, I can do it, I've got all it takes, then I'm basically repelling God and saying, God, I don't really need you because I can do it. But if anybody here today is saying, Lord, I'm mourning over my distance, I'm mourning over my weakness, I'm mourning over the things in my life that are holding me back, Lord, I'm coming to you today. Just as I am, I come. And that's a brilliant place for anybody to be in. And revivals are often places where people weep. And tears are good when they are tears that are bringing us closer to God. They're good. And we want to be, Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn. I think we've got a lot to learn about this beautiful mourning that brings us to God. For they shall be comforted. Then it says, blessed are the meek. And the word meek is not a word that we hear very often. When did you last use the word meek or meekness in a conversation? When did you last hear that word? Meek is a word we've almost lost. And it's this, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. We better find out what meekness is about, because we could inherit the earth. It's really about humility. It's about humility and about obedience. It's about a submissive obedience that brings life. It is not a domination submission. It is a life-giving submission to God, surrender to God, an obedience to God, a humility before God. It's where we say, Lord, you are God and I am not. And I need to listen to you. And I need, Jesus, would you be my Lord and actually change, help me change things in my life that are not reflecting who you are. Because we've all got those things, haven't we? And we're all on a journey of from one degree, from one day to the next, of becoming more and more like Jesus over time. This humility, this obedience, this repentance, it's another way of saying dependence, meekness. To be meek is to be dependent, to be submitting in a right and healthy way to the Lord. It is sometimes meekness is worked out and in the hard knocks and in the school of suffering and in the difficult trials and tribulations that we face. If we can adjust our hearts in a right way to meet those things, often what results is meekness, because we recognize, Lord, in the difficult things of life, again, we don't have what it takes. We can't make it on our own. But when we connect to God through this being poor in spirit, mourning over, recognizing our weakness, and then submitting to Christ as Lord of our life, then we find that we just like, as it were, the picture would be of a stallion, a wild stallion being tamed to be ridden by a jockey or something. You know, that's what meekness is about. It means that we submit our lives to Christ, just as he submitted himself to death on a cross, and God exalted him and gave him a name above every other name. Jesus was the meekest person on earth. Actually, Moses was described as very meek as well. Meek is not weak. There's no weakness there. It's actually incredible strength in meekness. But it's submission to God, which is the key. So I think there's something beautifully attractive about being meek. The Bible says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. You see, this opposite happens. You'd think somebody who is meek would, you know, we got the wrong idea. We just think that somebody who wouldn't say boo to a goose, you know, that they'd just retire and very, very quiet, meek person. It's nothing to do with whether you're quiet or noisy or anything like that. It's not really to do with personality. It's to do with your heart being meek. And it's something that we should all aspire to, and we should all be saying, Lord, show me this way of meekness, because it's part of the Jesus way for our lives. And then he says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And this is about an attitude and posture in our hearts where we seek God for more, where we're not content to just know God as we do today, but we want to know more. Blessed are those who are hungry and thirsty. In other words, the great danger for the church today is indifference. It's the sort of whatever, whatever. That's the worst state to be in, whatever. It says, Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Do you and I want to grow? Do we want to go forward? Do we want to know Christ more? Or are we content to remain whatever? Whatever. Just, you know, just fine. I hate the word fine. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. D.L. Moody, when he was a preacher in the 19th century, and he was a minister. And one day, a couple of ladies in his church said to him, "We're praying for you." And he was a bit offended by that. He said, "Why are you praying for me? You should be praying for the congregation." And they said, "No, we're praying for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit." And that's put a little something in D.L. Moody's mind. And he thought, yeah, I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that provoked him. And he began to pray, "Lord, please fill me with the Holy Spirit." And as time went on, he prayed and more and more and more. And then he got a breakthrough one day when the Spirit of God came upon him in power. So much so that he had to ask God to stop because it was too intense. This is the beautiful thing. He didn't, at that point, he was a minister and he didn't even really know he needed more of God. Now, that can happen to lots of us. I remember talking to someone who said that they hadn't really met with God for 5 years. And I thought, oh, today, if you hear his voice, and if you cry out and say, "God, fill me with the Holy Spirit," and really come to him, then you can meet with God. When we talk about meeting with God, it doesn't have to be a sort of dramatic experience, although it might be. But just opening the door of your heart to God. And sometimes for some of us, for years and years, we just keep that door shut. And we can come and be involved in many, many things, but really the door is shut. And my heart's desire and prayer today is that all of us would just open the door and say, "Jesus, come." Some of us have testimonies that God moved, but we haven't seen it for years. All our testimonies are about the past. And God wants us to get a fresh manna. He wants a fresh word. He wants you to have a fresh knowledge of him. In however the 100 different ways we can experience that, yes. It's not prescriptive, but it is personal. God can come personally, the living Jesus Christ, and touch your heart and mine. We all need this. I'm the vicar here for 10 years, and I have had many times in those 10 years where I could honestly say that I felt dry and barren and fragile and broken. I do remember one time in 2016 where I just felt like a cloud descended on me. And it was really hard for months to feel like, you know, you were anywhere close to God. But God is faithful and gracious. And when we cry out to him, he listens and he answers. And we always want to be those who say, "I'm hungry. I might be struggling, but I'm hungry. I might be in a dark place, but I'm thirsty." Because if we ever get to the place of whatever, that's the most dangerous place to be. The indifferent place. God, give us, we pray, hunger and thirst for you in every circumstance that we face. It's not about whether you're in good times or bad, but it's about whether we want to go forward or whether we're going backwards. Blessed are those who are hungry. And then he says, "Blessed are the merciful." And I might be wrong here, but I think there's a gear change here, because this is where I think in the second four Beatitudes we get a gear shift. And it begins, the first four have been a bit much more about us connecting with God and your and my relationship with God, and saying to us, it starts with hunger, it starts with this poverty, this helplessness, this sense of I need God. I'm going to mourn over anything that stops me from coming to God. I'm going to be meek and submitted and surrendered to God. I'm going to be hungry for the things of God. And now we begin to move into something new. He says, "Blessed are the merciful." We now start to get some overflow going on. So it's when we've met with God that we start to then make a difference, and something overflows from our life into others' lives. And Jesus says, "Blessed are the merciful." So it's not even just here we've received mercy. In fact, it says, "Blessed are the merciful, for you will obtain mercy." If you want mercy, to be given mercy, be merciful. There's something here of the overflow of our heart. And during the Welsh Revival, one of the questions they used to ask was, "Have you forgiven everyone?" Everyone. Everyone. And that would be one of those marks of the mercy of God on our lives, to forgive Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And forgiveness is one of the hardest things we can do. It is not easy to forgive. It can be a long journey. It can take a long time. But it's also one of those extremely important pillars of the Christian journey of forgiveness, being people who forgive one another and who forgive those around us. Because if we continue to walk in unforgiveness and refuse to be merciful, then it ends up affecting us, me. If it's my unforgiveness, I'm the one who gets hurt more. And that's why the Lord is calling us, be merciful. Let mercy flow, overflow out of your heart, and you will receive mercy. This is where we begin to come into, if you like, ministry. It's an overflow. We've met God, now we're ministering. And then he goes on to say, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I remember as a child, this was always my favorite beatitude, because I used to imagine seeing God. Wow. To see God. Isn't that the best of all of them? You know, you can give me anything else, but I'd really like to see God. And so I was always fascinated by this as a child. Blessed are the pure in heart. I always used to think, well, I need a pure heart then. I want to see God. John chapter 3 says, no one can see the kingdom of heaven unless they're born again. And this pure in heart, this heart purity. And for me, this is such an important daily thing in the Christian life. I think one of my favorite or most impactful scriptures in my life has been Psalm 51. And Psalm 51 says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your unfailing love. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from all my sin. This is what the psalmist prayed. And I can't tell you the number of times, many times, thousands of times more, I have prayed that prayer for myself. Have mercy on me, O God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. It's the best prayer if you're ever struggling to connect with God. You can pray this prayer. Have mercy on me, O God. Because it goes on and talks about wanting to be restored in the joy of your salvation. And the Holy Spirit not to be taken from you. You know, all these things in Psalm 50. It's the most powerful prayer from the book of Psalms. And it's part of my story as well. Blessed are the pure in heart. See, purity of heart will overflow in very down-to-earth ways. Heart purity impacts your attitudes. And it's not always so much our actions, because sometimes if you can premeditate your actions to do the right thing, that's good. But what about your reactions? For all of us, particularly at home, what are our reactions like? And we need the pure hearts. God, give us pure hearts at home, with family, with friends, with our spouse, with our loved ones, those nearest and dearest to us. May God give us pure hearts in family life. Now, of course, family life is sometimes all over the place. But within that, if we can ask the Lord for pure hearts, that will make a difference in our family life, in our marriages, our parenting, all our interactions with one another. It makes a difference. What about a pure heart at work? Men and women of integrity, men and women of the truth, men and women who will not be swayed to the right or to the left, but who will do the right thing every time. That's what a pure heart is about. What about with our money and how we spend and use our finances and our resources and our possessions? Having a pure heart impacts the overflow. It's not all just about having a nice relationship with God, but living exactly how we like. It will affect how we live, a pure heart. And it will affect every area, our sex life, there's so many people who are bound in pornography today. And the Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart. And I've talked with people through the years about this issue in their life, and I'm more than happy to do so with others. I always respect those who come to me about these things, because I know it takes a lot of courage to share these hidden places and these deep places of brokenness in our lives often. Many people struggle, the same in the church and out of the church, with these areas. But part of this is asking God. Part of it, there's other ways of helping, but part of it starts in this place of desiring a pure heart in marriage. What about conversation, not gossiping? All these things are all part of blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. This is a big vision for us as disciples of Jesus, to be saturated with God. And then we're coming near the end, but it says, blessed are the peacemakers. How we need peacemakers today. Look at our country. And you may have strong opinions on Brexit or on many of these things. What does Jesus say? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. How are we having these conversations? Whatever you may think of them, and I know if we were to have a big debate, there'd be loads of people on different sides of the arguments. But listen, are we brothers and sisters? We are to be peacemakers. Whatever you think of the arguments, we are to be peacemakers. That's not just the middle of the road compromise. That's not saying that. That's saying we are to be peacemakers. In other words, one another is more important than all the arguments. Can we have disagreement and healthy disagreement between us, which is great, but love one another. That's so precious. We can disagree, but love each other. Over all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in complete unity. God cares that we are in unity. He cares that we love one another. He knows we have strong opinions about 1,000 things, but he cares that we love each other and that we seek as far as it depends on you, to live at peace with everyone. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. See how this is an overflowing life. It started with me and you connecting with the Lord, and now it's resulting in our life being transformed. That's what I believe in our current climate of division. That's the place the church needs to fill. And wouldn't it be great if our nation could see a peacemaking church where there was real love on display? This is how the world will know that you will know God. It's going to be through us loving one another. By this will all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. Blessed are the peacemakers. And lastly, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And what we've got here is people who are living for Christ no matter what the cost. They're living in such a way as they're going to be persecuted now, because their lives are provoking other people. Their lives of love and justice, their lives of care and compassion, peacemaking, of spiritual humility, actually provoke other people who are prideful, independent, lustful, jealous. That's what happens. That's why Jesus was crucified, because his life provoked the people around him. And that's why what happens to us when we are persecuted, when we're misunderstood, when we're rejected by others, which is hard and painful for any human to go through that. And yet, Jesus said, blessed are you when you are persecuted. See, something has happened here in the course of these Beatitudes, that we started by saying we're helpless and we need God, and we're distant from God, and we're really coming to him, mourning over our sin, crying out to him for a new work of his grace in our life. And now we've moved to a place where actually we're really living out our Christian life. And it is touching other people's lives. And not everybody likes it. And so we're being persecuted. Blessed are you when you are persecuted. Why would they be persecuted? It's because they're living out the other Beatitudes. And we will not always be popular. It will be tough in the Christian life. And there is this progression from poverty to persecution, from helplessness to holiness. from meeting God to ministry. But I want to end with this last few statements, and these are beautiful statements in Matthew 5, because in verse 13 he says, "You are the salt of the earth." In verse 16 he says, "You are the light of the world." And then he says in verse 16, he says, "Let your light shine." What kind of light is that? The light got lit through these Beatitudes. That's where the light got lit. You need light? Follow the way of these Beatitudes. And then you're going to be starting to burn and brightly. The light of Jesus. It's no time for us to be hidden. This is not a time for us to retreat. This is not a time for us to be in the shadows, in the background, quietly getting on with things. This is the time for us to shine. This is the time for us to be salt and light in this generation, in Loughton, in Epping Forest. This is the time for us to shine. And that's what I want to say to this morning, friends. It's time to step up. It's time to shine. It's time to follow the way of Jesus that he's laid out for us here in these beautiful attitudes, and to come to God and to say, you know, and that really applies to every single one of us. You may say, "Well, I'm very far from God." Don't worry, there's a beatitude for you. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You might be saying, whatever your beatitude is, it's time for us to be poor in spirit. It's time for us to mourn. It's time for us to be meek, to be hungry, to be merciful. It's time for us to work out holiness and purity. It's time to make peace and love the people around us. It's time for us to live radically, no matter what the cost. And even if it means persecution, so be it. It is time for you to shine and for me to shine. Amen? Are you willing? Are you willing? Are you ready? Are you willing to put the work in? Because this will not happen in 5 minutes. It takes a life. It takes moment by moment, day by day. It's intentional. We need to lean in. It doesn't happen through wishing it would happen. It happens as we lean in and say, "God, do this in me. I need this." And perhaps over the days and weeks to come, you could just continue to read the Beatitudes, pray them, say, "God," get on your knees with the Beatitudes and say, "God, give me a poor spirit, give me a mournful spirit where I need that, give me a meek heart, God, increase my hunger, Lord, have I forgiven everyone, Lord, forgive me the areas of my life that are far from pure, and come, have mercy on me, O God, help me, Lord, to love the people that I don't agree with, and make peace. Help me, Lord, to live a life worthy of the calling that I have received, no matter what it costs." Amen. Father, we need you. We miss you, Lord. We need you. Come, Holy Spirit. I just wonder, in a moment of quiet, if you know you need to respond to any of these Beatitudes today. There might be one or two or more that are sticking out for you. Just quietly stand to your feet and perhaps put your hands out in front of you, and I'd like to just pray for you now. If that's where you're at, before the Lord, just do that now as a way of responding. Jesus Christ, we come with just ourselves. We have nothing else to offer. But we pray that what there is of us, that you would take us. Take my life. I pray for more people to be poor in spirit. May the Holy Spirit fill you, and may you know the kingdom of heaven in your life. You are blessed. I pray, Father, for any among us today who are mourning, our sin. And who are just coming back to you. Lord, I thank you that the Comforter will come. Come, Holy Spirit. I pray, Father, for any among us today who want to be meek. Well, Lord, we surrender. Take our lives, Father, an offering. Teach us obedience and meekness, we pray. Thank you that you will give us the earth in response. Lord, I pray for those of us responding to be more hungry and thirsty for God. Forgive us, Lord, our prayerlessness, our lack of zeal for the things of God, passionless Christianity. Jesus, I pray that you will bring to life and spark hunger and thirst in my brothers and sisters and in me. Father, for any responding today wanting more of the overflow of mercy, we choose today to forgive. And help us, Lord, even in the days to come, to take the time to forgive those we need to forgive. And I pray for the joy of release when we've forgiven. I pray, Father, for any of us today struggling with impurity and sin, perhaps secret sin. Maybe nobody knows. But you know, Father. And I thank you that there is freedom. I thank you that there is liberty. And there is purity. Lord, I pray for purity in heart and in life for all of us as your church. Jesus, we pray, have mercy on us, Lord, where we've not brought peace. Forgive us, Lord, for being full of strong opinions and judgmental, quick to point the finger, quick to blame. Have mercy, Lord. We ask that you would create in us the heart to make peace. In the name of Jesus, we pray that in our generation and even in these tumultuous weeks that we face, Father, I pray that we would love one another. And Lord, I pray that you would raise up every member of this church and every person here to live a life in such a way that we would follow Jesus whatever the cost, even into persecution. Jesus, we pray over all these things. We want to shine with the love of Jesus. And I pray that we would see ourselves shining in this crooked, perverse world, shining with the light and love and goodness of God, with the mercy and grace of God shining. And I just want to commission us today, brothers and sisters, at work, at home, in the high road, in your own backyard, shine, shine. Shine with the love of Jesus. Be bright for God. Through darkness, through valley, through mountaintop, be bright for Christ. In the place of lament and celebration, shine with the love of Jesus. And we ask, Father, that sincere prayers are just offered right now from your people, that you will cause us to so be filled with Jesus that a great revival will spring up in this community. For we ask it in his name and for his glory. Amen.